Pleased to be joined by Federal News Radio's national security correspondent, J.J. Green. A story linked up on federalnewsradio.com under the headline, Pentagon Scrambles to Assess WikiLeaks Damage, reads that the Pentagon says it's trying to assess the damage caused by the internet leak of some 91,000 classified documents on the Afghanistan war. The documents are described as battlefield reports compiled by various military units that provide an unvarnished look at combat in the past 5 years, including U.S. frustration over reports Pakistan secretly aided insurgents and civilian casualties at the hand of U.S. troops. J.J. Green is here to talk about this document dump. Welcome, and thank you for coming back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Last time you were here was to discuss the this case of Bradley Manning, the sergeant who dumped a number of documents, provided them to WikiLeaks, and what was becoming of him. What we see on WikiLeaks today and what we're reading about in news accounts across the internet, including on federalnewsradio.com, is a lot more significant, a lot deeper. As you've had a chance to review what's there, what are you seeing?
This could be the biggest release of classified material in the history of the military and of the nation. That's the first and most important thing. Second thing, as you mentioned, WikiLeaks describes this as a release of a cache of documents from 2004 to 2010, and they detail U.S. military operations in which people were killed, and they include the number of people killed, people wounded, people detained. There's some very precise geographical information mentioned, the number of the units that were involved, and the types of weapon systems that were used. A lot of this is classified material, but not top secret. You know, keep in mind, some classified material is pretty well known, but it's still classified. But it is damaging, because what it does is it gives the enemy a look at the U.S. military's thinking and an opportunity to assess their own effectiveness, how well they are doing. That's what's going on at this point. And as the days pass, I do expect that this is going to become much more intense for the U.S. military.
Mm-hmm. What are, above and beyond that, what are the implications structurally when this volume of material and the nature of the material can be released in the manner that it's being released? I mean, this is not a spy scenario where information potentially is in the hands of the enemy, but nobody knows what the enemy... I mean, at least in this case, the Pentagon knows what's out there. Is that to the good or to the bad?
Well, it's kind of halfway in between at this point, because they only know what they know about what's public.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke with Colonel Dave LePan, who's the acting deputy assistant secretary of state at the Pentagon in the media operations unit. And I spoke to him at length this morning, and he said they don't know yet what else is to come. One of their big problems right now is they only know a little bit about what's out there, and that's what's been released so far. They don't know what's yet to come. There's more stuff that's going to be coming out. And so what they're going to have to do is to set up a very meticulous and I think probably a long-term investigation that's going to do several things. One, they're going to assess the damage. Then they're going to take steps to mitigate the damage. They're going to look for clues as to who might be the source or sources of the leaks. And they're going to look through tens of thousands of documents. They'll have to obviously authenticate all of these documents and figure out where they came from and what they might reveal to the U.S.'s enemies. And this is a process that's going to take weeks and not days. You know, as they wade into this, one of the things they're struggling with is, do too many people have clearances? And, you know, that's something that they're hoping that this investigation will tell them about. But at the same time, they're going to have to make sure very quickly, figure out very quickly what's out there and how much damage it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. The reports, the access to this information ahead of time was provided to three publications. New York Times had access to this, Der Spiegel mm-hmm. in Germany, and the name of the British newspaper that had access to this is escaping me now.
Telegraph.
Thank you. They had access to these documents for a number of a long period of time, number mm-hmm. of weeks at least, and maybe longer. What does it say, in your view, that they had access, and apparently from what your Pentagon contact is telling you, the Pentagon didn't even have access to know what was going to be coming?
Well, what it says is that we're living in an age now when it's possible to do that. It's possible to take classified material out of the classified system, disseminate it to an organization. And in some cases, in this case, multiple organizations can benefit from it without the Pentagon even supposedly being aware of it. And that's what this age does for us, the ability to download information and forward it on to organizations. Whereas in the past, if you took some classified documents, you had to get them out of the building. You had to do a number of things, including signing things, and other people were involved in the process. And so, very simply put, Francis, right now what this shows us is that it can be done, and that it is a huge problem for those who are looking to protect classified information in the U.S. national security system. And it says also something else, too. You know, typically the folks inside the national security arena who deal with this type of material have a process. And this situation appears to be one that's a part of an increasing pattern where people that may be involved in leaking documents are outside of that ring of national security professionals that are indoctrinated probably ad nauseum about the perils of leaking.
Mm-hmm.
And one U.S. intelligence source told me today, he said, given the digital age we're in now, which I was just talking about, some people feel they can leak and feel that they won't get caught. But if they did get caught, they could withstand the penalties that they face.
Mm-hmm.
So in addition to the ease of being able to do this now, there's also this shift in people's thinking about mm-hmm. what happens if they do it.
Is there a possibility in your mind that somebody could be made an example of for that very reason? Try and get people to understand you just can't go around doing this? Or are we starting to maybe see a shift in mindset also inside the leadership of the Pentagon, realizing the reality of the world we live in today may mean that we have to rethink the seriousness of some of these things?
I believe they're probably rethinking things, but I can also imagine and probably say with a great deal of certainty that the Pentagon is never going to give up trying to track down leakers. And this administration, the Obama administration, has come out, and, you know, according to sources that I've been talking to, as, you know, as hard and as fast and as I guess, as strong as any administration in recent memory, going back to the Nixon days when it comes to leakers. Nixon, Johnson, and many previous administrations have been obsessed with trying to track down and stop leaks. This administration appears to have taken some steps that go beyond what those administrations have done in the past. And one thing that I was talking with a former CIA officer this morning about, he said, you know, people in Washington have mastered leaking, you know, and it's a time-honored tradition in leaking. And it's going to take the same kind of mastery to stop it.
We are quick in this town to assign names and tags to things. I saw a person this morning reference that this was the Afghanistan War's Pentagon Papers. Do you agree with that assessment?
I don't know about that. I haven't seen them all. And what I have seen, and I'll say what I say based on vetting my thoughts mm-hmm. through some folks who should know. This, as I mentioned before, is a lot of classified stuff, but it's at the secret level, and it's not at the top secret level. A lot of secret stuff is classified secret simply because people have to handle it. Some people have to see it, have to move it, have to use it. You know, quite often, you know, you have people who may have to brief a superior on something, or may have to, again, move documents physically from one place to another, who get a clearance to do just that. But top secret information, I don't think that that's in this. And if it is, it's yet to come. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, I think we probably would have heard about it from one of those three publications that you talked about at the top of the broadcast. But that said, it's not something to kind of say, okay, no big deal. Mm-hmm. It is a big deal because Whenever stuff like this is released, there's always a concern about sources and methods being revealed. There's always a concern about the enemy being able to take bits and pieces of information and put it together and draw themselves a bigger picture of what it is you're doing. And bottom line, let them get inside your head. One thing that should be pointed out is information like this is typically, intelligence reports is typically based on a judgment system. You know, it's not necessarily fact, but mm-hmm. it's based on judgment. So, you know, that gives the enemy a look into what you're thinking.
Federal News Radio National Security Correspondent J.J. Green, my guest on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, continuing to look at the WikiLeaks leaks that were published this morning in three publications around the world. More details available at federalnewsradio.com, and more with J.J. when In Depth continues.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
Hey, Caps fans, are you ready for the total Caps experience? The Capitals Convention returns on Saturday, October 2nd at the Washington Convention Center in downtown D.C. Spend a full day immersed in Capitals hockey with players, coaches, management, and alumni. Get players' autographs and learn more about their lives both on and off the ice. And be the first to see the 2011 Winter Classic uniforms. Tickets are $45 for adults and $25 for kids. Last year's convention sold out with over 5,000 guests, so get your tickets now at WashingtonCaps.com.
Without an effective estate plan, your hard-earned wealth will end up in the hands of the government, and a will is no protection. At Zell Law, our estate planning lawyers take the time to listen and understand you and your goals and figure out what you want to achieve. Then we work with you to create a customized estate plan that helps you and your family realize your dreams of wealth and freedom. Find out how we do this by joining me, Wayne Zell, Saturdays at 10 a.m. for Blueprint for Wealth on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio.
How are human services delivered in the District of Columbia? How is D.C.'s Department of Human Services assisting homeless veterans? How is it doing more with less? Join host Michael Keegan next week as he explores these and other questions with Clarence Carter, Director of the District of Columbia's Department of Human Services. That's next week on the Business of Government Hour.
A better way. You'll find it at Midas. It's the way we listen and do more than you expect. Come to Midas for an oil change, and we'll rotate your tires and visually check your brakes, all for just $24.99. It's our way of keeping car maintenance simple and keeping you as a customer. People and prices you can count on. That's the Midas touch.
Up to 5 quarts conventional oil, taxes and synthetics extract shop fees may apply. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
Which agency has the best food or cafeteria? Who has the best gym? What about the agency with the best overall location, the best parking or transportation options? Who's the best dressed fed you know? Federal News Radio is having some fun this summer with our Best of the Federal Government feature. Throughout the summer, we'll ask you to vote for your favorites. Voting has officially begun. Go to federalnewsradio.com and search for Best Of. That's federalnewsradio.com, keyword Best Of.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Monday edition of the Dorabeck Insider, the TSP. About to have a whole bunch of new members next week. Automatic enrollment starts for the Thrift Savings Plan. What does it mean for you? We'll find out. And the recovery.gov website, widely seen as one of the most innovative government websites out there. We'll talk to the brains behind it, Evan Burfield of Centeractive. All that and much more this afternoon, 3 to 7 on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Federal News Radio National Security Correspondent J.J. Green in studio with me to talk about the potential damage from the leaks provided to WikiLeaks.org. The founder of WikiLeaks saying today that the release of over 90,000 documents, one of the largest unauthorized disclosures in military history, according to the story at federalnewsradio.com, was just the beginning. He's in London saying that there are 15,000 more files on Afghanistan still being vetted by his organization. And he believes that the thousands of U.S. attacks in Afghanistan could be investigated for evidence of war crimes, although he acknowledged that such claims would have to be tested in court. Who is this guy, and why is this, why has this become his mission? What do we know about him?
Well, a lot more than I know, per se, but I have been aware of WikiLeaks for a long time because it's an organization that prides itself on releasing information that it believes is classified, that it believes can shed some light on topics that it believes the public should know about. This gentleman, Assange, as I understand it is his name, is in the business of exposing what he believes in this particular case are situations where the government has overstepped its bounds. He is looking to, I suppose, place in the court of public opinion some things that may not necessarily deserve to be there. A source that I spoke with this morning, who's a former covert operative for the CIA, said 99% of the stuff that is leaked is stuff that should never be in the public eye in the first place. You know, he said, and these are his words, the public does not deserve to know about many of these things. And what he was saying was, it's not about hiding things from the public, but there are things out there about military operations, about national security, that are legitimate secrets that need to stay that way because there are so many people amongst us that are looking to get a leg up on the U.S. and find out about secret things. So I'm not saying that that's what the WikiLeaks founder's objective is, but what I do say is that what he's done is presented an interesting question, and that is, what is his real motivation? You know, in addition to all the stuff that he's put on his site in the years past, doing this takes it to what appears to be a whole new level.
Yeah. The probably the most difficult thing for people to plow through in this is, as ABC News is reporting it rather succinctly, WikiLeaks data seemed to show Pakistan helped attack American troops. That's the headline at abcnews.com. That doesn't put a country who seems to want to position itself as our ally in very good stead.
I'll read a statement to you that I got from Ambassador Hussein Haqqani's office, Pakistan's ambassador to the U.S. this morning. I spoke with his office this morning, and they spoke on background, but they did release a statement to me from the ambassador saying the documents reveal nothing more than a single source of comments and rumors which abound on both sides of the Pakistan and Afghan border and are often proven wrong after deeper examination. That appears to be Pakistan's approach to dealing with these allegations, which these aren't new in all fairness. But one of the interesting elements about this is that it appears to add more credence to what we've heard than anything before. Typically, when you've asked U.S. military or government officials about this, they've always stressed the U.S. and Pakistan's working relationship as the preeminent part of what the relations between the countries in the past few years, and they've described it as being a good relationship, productive relationship, one in which both sides are benefiting from. But you never get them to answer this question: is Pakistan working against the U.S., helping the Taliban, and why, if that's the case?
Mm-hmm.
That's what these documents seem to point to. And the why is, if you ask the right people, they will tell you Pakistan has a concern about India. And I don't think that's a secret to anyone.
Right.
And I think that what they're hoping to do as time passes is to improve relationships with Afghans, and after the U.S. is gone and after the rest of the world is gone from there, be able to have either a good relationship with the Afghans, or they're going to have the Taliban,
mm-hmm.
which has been a buffer for them for a long time, which supposedly was created by the Pakistanis as a buffer between them and India. And assuming that if they're not able to achieve a better relationship with the Afghans, then they'll have the Taliban there, sort of similar to what the Iranians have in Hezbollah,
mm-hmm.
As a buffer and a proxy to help them get what they need done in the region for their own national security purposes.